Good morning, girls and boys. Nice to see you. Nice to see all of you today. We're turning to Luke chapter 23 and the verse 43 again. This is our last study of this verse. We'll read it afresh. And Jesus said unto him, Verily, I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. I hope you have enjoyed our times around this verse. I have to tell you, I have enjoyed it. I never come here seeking to teach you without having been taught myself from the verse that we're looking at. Indeed, sometimes as I'm standing up here speaking to you, there comes little thoughts into my mind that further help an understanding of the verse we're examining. Thoughts that I never had before. So I'm being taught even as I'm teaching. Isn't that something? I'm a pupil, speaking to pupils. Well, let's look at this verse then. For the last time in this series anyway, I want today to emphasize something very important. And it's this. Heaven awaits every child of God as soon as they leave this earth, as soon as they die. Now, I can't begin to imagine what comfort these words of the Savior imparted to that man dying on the cross beside him. Dying, boys and girls, in the midst of great suffering. What he was feeling hanging there on that cross, hands and feet nailed to that cross. What he was feeling is impossible for us to understand. Now, I have seen many of you tumble in the schoolyard and skin your knee. And if I was over in Trillick, I would have heard you howling. And that only came from a little skinning of the knee. But yes, it was sore. It was painful. And I suppose you had a right to howl. But it was nothing in comparison to what this man was suffering on the cross. Of course, the Lord Jesus was suffering as well, I should say. Suffering the same physical pain as the thief. But his sufferings didn't end there. He was suffering a great, great sense of disappointment that the people should have done this to him, for he was perfectly innocent. He had come offering kindness and mercy, sharing with them the good news, the way of salvation, offering them mercy. And yet this is how they treated him. It's impossible to explain that suffering and that grief. But as well as that, and by far a greater measure of his suffering, was the fact that he was bearing the sin, the guilt, of all those who were his people. His elect, the Bible calls them. The sheep given to him by the Father in eternity. He was bearing on him the sin, the guilt, and the judgment that would have fallen upon his people. He was suffering in their place. If you are saved today, just remember you're saved because the Lord Jesus on the cross took all your sins and your sufferings and he made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary. He suffered and he died alone. And no guilt will ever rest upon the child of God who's trusting Christ because it fell on the Lord Jesus. But to return to the sufferings of the thief, this man, by God's mercy, had come to realize his lost condition and to recognize who it was dying beside him. I'm sure he didn't know all that could be known about the Lord Jesus. I may be well correct when I say the chances are he was not as instructed as to who Jesus was as you are. But nevertheless, he was instructed enough to be enabled to trust in the Savior. Now, if you're saved today, you have been given enough knowledge by God to see your need of the Savior, and you have trusted him. But you're going to learn, I hope, as you grow older, much more things about the Lord Jesus. You will learn more than you know at the moment, but at the moment you know enough to trust him as your Savior. Let me illustrate it. If you suddenly feel a very severe pain in your tummy. You have been told there's something wrong in my tummy, and you tell your mum and you say, "Mum, I need to go to the doctor." You knew enough about what's wrong with you to know you need the doctor. You don't know what's causing it. There's so many things you don't know about what's wrong, but you know enough to know you need to go to the doctor. Well, that's how it is with salvation. God gives us knowledge at the beginning, sufficient knowledge to make us realize I need the Lord Jesus as my Savior. But we have so much more to learn about him as we grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So this man, this thief whose name we don't know, this man has been awakened by God's mercy to see his need, and he has placed his faith in the Lord Jesus. He's placed his faith in the Lord Jesus and has asked him basically to save him. That's what his words, he says in the verse 42, just the verse before our text, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." That doesn't amount to much. How long did it take me to say that? All right, you measure me again as I say it. "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." Did it take 5 seconds? Probably not. Probably not. And yet, in those 5 seconds, he said that which opened the door of heaven, and he was welcomed into state of saving mercy. He was saved, because the Lord Jesus immediately assured him he was saved. Immediately he said to him, "This day shalt thou be with me in paradise." And he started off by saying, "Verily, truly." He was emphasizing that he really was saved as a result of that short little prayer. Boys and girls, isn't salvation made wonderfully simple and easy? Wonderfully simple and easy. All the religions of the world, you know, that are contrary to what the Bible says, the way they tell people they have to get saved requires the people to work every day, all day, every day of their life. And even then they mightn't get into heaven. But God's way is simply set forth here in the experience of this thief. But as I say, in this last study, I want us to consider how that heaven awaits the child of God when they pass from the scene of time, when they die. Now that makes all the difference to those who are Christians facing death. I heard this morning of a lady whom I met many, 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 many years ago, who died last night. And she, from the time I knew her, was a Christian. And whenever she thought of the day when she would die, she had the comfort of knowing, when I die, I'm going to heaven. And at this moment, that lady that I knew and have known for so many years is in heaven at this moment. And we can say these things, boys and girls, on the basis of God's word. Not guesswork, not because we're imagining that this is so, but because God says it. God says it. And that's the very basis of our faith. Now, I'm going to be brief this morning, as the Lord helps me. It is to be noted that the Lord Jesus had made no answer to the mocking people down below who were shouting up at him and shouting things that they thought would require him to reply to. He made no answer to the other thief, but he did answer this man. The Lord will always answer those who ask him in faith, seeking his blessing and his mercy. And what a blessed, what a precious word was given to this repentant thief. It would comfort him immeasurably in the last moments of his life. He would die that day. The Lord told him that. Not many people know when they're going to die, but this man knew when he was going to die. Now death through crucifixion can take a long time. It has been recorded that some nailed to a cross took days to die. Took days to die. Die in agony. It was a cruel, cruel form of death. But this man was told by the Lord when he was going to die. Told in the very first words, "Today, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Now, none of us know the day we will pass from this world, but if you're saved today, you know the day you pass from this scene of time, you enter immediately into heaven. You enter immediately into heaven. Now, as I say, we learn this truth from the words of the Lord Jesus, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." This truth has often been repeated in God's word for the comfort of God's people, because there's much ignorance, sadly even among Christians, regarding what happens after death. Oh, it's a real mystery. A lot of people have the most silly, evil, sinful notions of what happens after death. We'll not go into what it is they believe, but let me tell you what it is we ought to believe. If you're saved, that wonderful moment, you pass instantly you pass from earth to heaven. When the bell rings at 3:30, you're going home. But it takes you what? 10 minutes? 15 minutes? 20 minutes? And maybe if mum or dad who's taking you home has a little bit of shopping to do, it's going to take you even longer. But when the Lord Jesus takes us to heaven, that's how quickly it happens. In an instant. As I say, these things are repeated for our encouragement. I'm going to read a couple of verses to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You older ones, look it up. When you see it, it helps you to remember it in the future. 2 Corinthians, and we're looking at the chapter 5. Paul here is talking about the Christian passing from this world to heaven. That's how the chapter begins. Verse 1 says, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heaven." Now that's a wonderfully gentle way to speak of death. There's a lot of people who wouldn't want to speak about death to little boys and girls. But little boys and girls are very able and capable of dealing with every subject that's found in the scripture. And here, Paul, in a very gentle and sweet and precious way, talks about death. He says, "We know that of our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved." You might say, now what is happening? Because there's some old-fashioned words used there. So let me put it in language that you'll understand. "For if our earthly house of this tent," you know what a tent is. Some of you have spent time on your holidays in a tent. Well, you put it up, hadn't you? You had to put it up. And then when you were finished, and maybe moving somewhere else, you took it down, pulled out the pegs and all the rest. Well, that's what this body's like, a tent. And one day it's going to be taken down. And we'll move on to heaven. Look on down to verse 5. "Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who hath given unto us the earnest," or the deposit, the assured deposit of the Spirit. "Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord." Verse 8, "We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body than to be present with the Lord." My boys and girls, you will understand enough of those words to recognize that when death comes and the body's left, the soul is with the Lord. That's what it says. And that's what the Savior was telling the dying thief. "This day shalt thou be with me." Oh, your body will still be hanging on the cross. And if your friends and family who have any care or feeling for you, they'll come and they'll take you down and they'll bury your body. But your soul will be with me in heaven. Do you understand that? Isn't it wonderful? Then again, if you go a little further to Philippians and the chapter 1 of Philippians and the verse 23, Paul the Apostle says, "For I am in a strait." Now notice the spelling of that word. "I am in a strait." S-T-R-A-I-T. He's not talking about something that has no bends in it, like a ruler or a great edge. The word means I'm in a bit of a bind. I'm squeezed on either side. That's what he's saying. I'm under pressure. I am in a strait betwixt two, like the jaws of a vice. I'm being squeezed on either side, Paul is saying. And here's what's squeezing him. Having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better, nevertheless to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. The two things that are squeezing him is the desire to depart and be with Christ instantly. And at the same time, I recognize I have a need to stay with you Christians and teach you. So these two things, his concern for the people and his desire to be in heaven, these two things were squeezing him. But the important thing to take away from that little passage is the fact that Paul says, as soon as I depart, I'm going to be with Christ. No long journey. No big interval between death and heaven. Right away. Instantly. I step from earth right to heaven. Oh, understand that, boys and girls. And we learn that, remember, from what the Savior says. Not from what the church or some theologian says, but what the Lord Jesus said. Therefore, we can be absolutely confident about it. Then again, the Lord uses the word paradise here, and it's a word that takes us back to the Garden of Eden, doesn't it? The garden that God created for Adam and for Eve. Well, as God created the Garden of Eden, just perfect for Adam and Eve, so there is a heavenly paradise that has been created for you and for me if we're saved. You remember the words of the Lord Jesus in John chapter 14. Very famous passage. Well, the verses 2 and 3, if you care to look it up, John chapter 14 says this, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." Think on that. "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." That's what the Lord's doing at the present time. He's preparing a place for you and for me if we're saved. That's what he's doing. How that should excite us. Oh yes, he's preparing a place for us. Now, the Garden of Eden must have been a wonderful place. We can't, I suppose, in truth, begin to imagine. It was pleasant beyond description. The earth was perfect, perfect. And the Garden of Eden was, as it were, the most perfect, the most pleasant of all the places on the earth. We're told in Genesis, the river went out of the garden. There was the tree of life, the tree of life. And all this is to be found to a fuller degree in the paradise that awaits the people of God. Revelation speaks very much of it. Chapter 22 is full of reference to what awaits the child of God. "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." The Lord Jesus uses the word paradise because that man there, he was very ignorant, he would have understood immediately, "I'm going to a wonderful place." That's what the word paradise immediately suggests to us. The Savior didn't say, "Today you'll be with me." That would have been a blessed thing to hear. But to hear "with me in paradise" was a most wonderful and glorious truth to be told to this poor dying thief. Last thing, as Eden was, above all things, a place of unspeakable fellowship with God, God dwelt with Adam and Eve in that garden, met with them there, walked, talked, accompanied, fellowshipped with them there. Can't you see it? Please, see in your mind. The Lord, who's the Savior himself, of course, we're speaking about. The Lord met with Adam and Eve in the garden. What times of fellowship, of joy they had together. Well, that's what it's going to be like in heaven. We shall see God face to face. We shall see the face of God shining with a love for us. When we're young, we don't really recognize. When mum or dad gathers us up in their arms and they look upon us with a smile, oftentimes we're too busy wriggling to try and get away to notice the love that there is in that expression. They're delighting in holding us. Though we're wriggling to get away, for I want to play. Well, we can't really comprehend what it will be like to look into the face of God and see in His glorious countenance a love for us, immeasurable, eternal love. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Blessed word. Blessed word. That's what lies ahead of each one of you who see it. That's what lies ahead. You're going to leave this world and in an instant be with the Lord. There will be many on earth weeping that you're gone, but you'll not be weeping. You're with the Lord in paradise. May the Lord give you an understanding of these words and cause your heart to rejoice as the heart of the thief must have. The Savior told him these things. That's bound in prayer. I pray, Lord, you will bless the boys and the girls. I realize they're hearing more maybe than many. Lord, I pray that these little ones will be mature before their time, as it were. Certainly more mature than many, understanding the truth of God. Answer prayer today for the school. We thank thee for your mercy. Lord Jesus, you know the need at this very moment. Your hand be upon them and upon the staff. For Jesus' sake, amen. Amen.